So we start with the letter to the Philippians, and I'll spend a few moments introducing it. So my suggestion was that Paul wrote the Ephesians from incarceration, or what's house arrest in Caesarea. Now Felix was the governor, the Roman governor at the time of Palestine, and he was the one responsible for Paul's imprisonment in Caesarea, and he kept putting off Paul having a proper trial. Luke tells us in the Acts that he was waiting for money, and Paul obviously wasn't coming forth with it. Paul had given it to Jerusalem. He'd probably heard a rumour, this is a guess, and the Roman governor had heard that Paul had come with money from the east, and he wanted his share of it. Luke writes, however, after 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. Now, after 2 years had passed, while it doesn't say it, doesn't make any sense, because Felix had been there for many years. It wasn't a two-year appointment. After 2 years had passed seems to mean 2 years of Paul's imprisonment in Caesarea. And that's highly likely, because according to Roman law, you could only be kept in prison for 2 years awaiting trial. Long time, but that was the limit. And if people didn't come forward with evidence in that time, you were freed to go. So it looks like Paul was in Caesarea for 2 years. That was my suggestion to you as well, from 57 to 59. Now the new governor comes, Porcius Festus, and Felix left Paul in prison. He should have released him. 2 years is up, but he didn't, because he wanted to appeal to the Jews. He's finished in Jerusalem. He wants a good report going back to Rome, so that he'll get appointed somewhere up the scale, whereas if he's caused trouble in his area, it's likely that he might get a bit of a bad name and be retired somewhere to the Isle of Chateau d'If or somewhere. So that's all told us by Acts. A critical report from the Jews would have a negative effect on him. Now Festus was also keen to make a favourable impression on his Jewish subjects when he comes in. So there's this problem awaiting him, Paul. So he suggests that there be a trial, he gets on with it quickly, and that the trial will be in Jerusalem. Hello, trial in Jerusalem for Paul, with all these people whom we know from Acts were trying to get to him anyhow and kill him. It was not going to be a fair trial. He wouldn't get a proper jury there. So Paul objected to that. You can find it in the Acts. And he said he appealed as a Roman citizen to proper Roman trial. I appealed to the emperor. Once he's appealed to the emperor, the local man loses jurisdiction. So he had to go to the emperor. Now, Festus seemed to be happy enough for that to happen, get him out of the road, stop the problem. So Luke then tells us how Paul journeyed to Rome under kind of arrest, and gives us a rundown of some map, if you can see it, just to give you an idea of the journey. Headed off from Caesarea, dropped in at Sidon, and was allowed to go and visit the Christians there, so it was he wasn't in chains or anything, but he would have had a soldier with him. Then they had to hug the coast, because when they left it a bit late, or the winds came early, because the prevailing winds from the east meant they couldn't just make a sea voyage, so they had to go, as Luke tells us, is that what they call leeward? On the side opposite the wind, anyhow, around Cyprus, clinging to the coast. And it was much slower than they expected because of the prevailing early winds, so Luke tells us. They went up to Rhodes, Cnidus here. They came down. The wind now this time was roaring down here, so they had to go round behind Crete, and they landed at a little place called Fair Havens. And they were going to winter there, but you couldn't winter there, because it was a very small little place. It didn't have enough to feed them and all that kind of thing. But they were, rather stupidly, the captain of the ship, Luke tells us, against Paul's advice, Paul had an opinion on sailing as well. I mean, he wasn't slow. they decided they would try to leave Fair Havens and go around here to a place called Phoenix, which had a proper harbour, well protected and so on. However, soon as they left the land, the wind drove them away from Crete, and the rest of it is imagination. They had to go, and they were being driven down to Africa or wherever. So they just had to let the boat take its course, and they nearly sank, and they had to throw things overboard and all that type of thing. It's stories there. They ended up on an island, which is the island of Malta, Melita, and they wintered on the island of Malta. That's the winter of 59-60. So they stayed there for 3 months. Their boat was foundered on the rocks, finished. But so they waited for another boat to come when the season opened in spring, which came up here from Alexandria with wheat and all that stuff for your Rome. It called in on Malta. On board they got. They went up via Sicily here. And then Puteoli was the only big port at that stage. The Ostia hadn't yet become what it was to become later. That's the mouth of the Tiber. It wasn't a big enough port at this stage. So the wheat was dropped off there, and then Paul went overland, worked his way to Rome. So he's in Rome, and he's there to be tried. At the end of the Acts of the Apostles, Luke writes, Paul lived there 2 whole years, again 2 whole years, at his own expense. And he welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Now that's the climax of the Acts of the Apostles. We don't know from the Acts what happened to Paul after that. Keep in mind, we're not dealing with the Acts, but the Acts of the Apostles is not the story of Paul. It's not the story of Peter. That's not its purpose. The Acts of the Apostles is the story of the Spirit of Jesus in the church, in its mission, continuing. So once Luke has brought the good news with this great apostle to Rome, the centre of the world, with all the spokes going out, that's his achievement. At last, the gospel is here at the centre of their known world, and it's going to spread. And he ends up on a triumphal note. Paul's there without any hindrance, preaching the gospel. That's enough for Luke. That's his intention. So he finishes his story. When he says Paul was there for 2 whole years, again, why 2 years? 2 years, because 2 years is all he can be there. And it seems, from what we know, and I won't take any further in Paul at this stage, I'll do a bit later when we finish this letter, it seems that the trial didn't take place because the evidence wasn't produced. People didn't come from Jerusalem. And maybe Porcius Festus sent a good report. There's no evidence against this man. They haven't done anything. It's been 2 years. They've been doing nothing. And maybe in Rome they had to keep him there awaiting trial in case evidence came. So it's quite likely that at the end of those 2 years, Paul was freed. It's during those 2 years that I'm suggesting that the letter to the Philippians is written. We know that Paul writes from prison. He tells us that. Marcion, in 150 AD, claims simply that the imprisonment was the one in Rome. And this was taken for granted till the 1800s. So everyone would have said Paul's letter from Rome to the Philippians. However, for the past 200 years, and rightly so, people started to question, and people who were searching for the truth too, started to question this. Why do we say Rome? Everyone's always said it, but are they right? Could it have been in Ephesus? Could it have been in Caesarea? So the opinions go back and forth as to where it could be, this imprisonment. And there's no proof that it was in Rome, though I'm going to be suggesting to you that's the more likely place. That's why I've obviously put it here. Two reasons. Caesarea has to be ruled out. Well, I think there will be still people who say it, but I can't. And Caesarea has to be ruled out because in this letter, which we'll do this morning, Paul talks about the possibility of going to Philippi, seeing them. Now, you know enough already, I think I've told you enough on this, that by the time Paul got to Corinth, he thought he'd finished in the east, and he was going to go, in his letter to the Romans, to Spain via Rome. So from Caesarea, I think it's quite unthinkable that Paul's vision would have still been Rome, Spain. He wouldn't have been thinking of cancelling all that and going back to Philippi, which is in Macedonia. It makes no sense to me anyhow, so I think that's highly unlikely. Could it be writing from Ephesus? Well, again, we're going to see this morning, there's a pretty, not an absolute certainty about that, but the trouble with saying Ephesus is that he talks about the praetorium, the praetorian guard, who've been influenced by Christianity. Now, who are the praetorian guard? They are the camp soldiers in Rome. There is this, they're the protectors of the emperor in Rome. So that would seem to be pointed to Rome. However, you might recall the Gospels where Jesus, Pilate, and the praetorian is mentioned there as well. And it's true that in the provinces which had a military prefect as their governor, which was the case in Palestine, the military prefect lived in army barracks, or I don't know what you're going to call it, which was given the name Praetorian because they were the military outreach of the Praetorian Guards. So it's true that there's a Praetorium in Palestine, but there's no evidence anywhere that they used the word Praetorium for a governor who was appointed by the Senate rather than the military, which was a more advanced kind of... Military is kind of still under occupation, the other is a bit further, more peaceful. So since Ephesus had a senatorial appointment as a governor, that's a bit of an argument against it being Ephesus. So, and my last third point is, there's nothing wrong with Paul saying that he intends to go to Philippi from Rome. In fact, it's a very convenient journey and quite a quick journey. The Via Appia, famous Via Appia, the oldest of the Roman roads, runs down here to what's now Brindisi. Brindisium, I think was the Latin, there. There's a very short sea voyage over here to what would be Western Macedonia, and now it might be Southern Albania. And then it becomes, the same road becomes the Via Ignatia, which goes across to Thessalonica and up to Philippi. So it's a Roman road leading to Rome very directly with a very small crossing. So movement is very easy. Whereas from Caesarea, it's a heck of a lot more complicated. However, the problem still now arises, and I'll finish with this and then leave it. If Paul says he's going to go to Philippi while he's in Rome, he's obviously changed his mind about going to Spain. But I didn't find that at all a problem. When Paul was writing from Corinth to Rome 4 years ago, I intend to go to Spain after, I'm going off to Jerusalem, then my intention is to go to Spain. In the meantime, he wasn't expecting when he said that to be 2 years languishing in Caesarea, taken still a prisoner to Rome, and how long? 1 year, I don't know, 1 year, 18 months, 2 years in Rome. That's 4 years of a man's life. Couldn't you perhaps change your mind? Couldn't he have realised, couldn't he have even found out there that, oh, Paul, don't go to Spain. They don't speak Greek in Spain. Oh. What are you going to do? What language are you going to talk to them in? Oh. They call all these languages. We don't have half their languages in Spain. They talk, not Spanish, but they talk blah, 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 whatever. And a bit of Latin, but you don't know Latin. So he may have, at that time, or he may have just got sick, he may have got older. Many reasons could have accounted for a change of mind here. I don't think he could change your mind in Caesarea, because he's still but hoping to have the trial and be freed when he writes his Ephesians. But that hasn't happened. So it's, why not stay with the tradition which says that Paul, without certainty, but I say it's highly probable, from Rome in prison in the year 61, that which makes Paul 65 years old, my age, I'm 66, but something like that. So he's now writing to this beautiful community, which was the first community he met when he went into Europe across from Troas. Let's look at Philippi, say a few little things about it. They're mentioned here, but we'll just put it this way, it might be easier. The city of Philippi, which you've placed there, in 356 it was reconstructed by Philip of Macedonia. That's why it's called Philippi. Philip of Macedonia is the father of Alexander the Great. So he said it's a very important place because it's got a, it protects one of the few passes through the mountains when you're going from Europe across to Asia. So the trade routes are important. This was a protective city for the trade routes. In 168 BC, Philippi was incorporated into the Roman Empire. In 42 BC, the victory of Antony and Octavian against Brutus and Cassius. So you're back to Julius Caesar and all your Shakespeare that you learnt at school. So you know the story of the murder of Julius Caesar, Brutus and Cassius, because they wanted a republic. They didn't want this megalomaniac military man taking over with complete power. So which side would you have been on at the time? It's up to you. But anyhow, so there was this thing going on. But they defeated Brutus and Cassius at Philippi, and so, which was quite common, they set up, Octavian, by the way, will become the Emperor Augustus in a few years after this. So they set up Philippi as what they call a Roman colony. Now, a Roman colony meant it was a little Rome with all the people. That was where they retired the generals, the military. And the Romans had a pretty smart thing. So they didn't have a standing army. So they would, if you wanted to join the army, well, you were sure of a feed, and you'd get looked after. But the biggest thing you could get is a promise, because as soon as the war was over, you were over, you go home. Then they have to get some more money in to pay the soldiers. So what would often happen was they'd say, right, if we win this battle, you can retire with all the rights of a Roman citizen. And you're a bloke from down the bush somewhere down in Syracuse or wherever you are. So, you know, anybody. So they set up these colonies. And there was a colony here, there's a colony in Corinth, there's a colony in Tarsus. So it became like a little Roman city. Latin was the official language, and they built the streets exactly the way they did with the theatre and all that kind of thing. And it was a little Rome with no, didn't have to pay taxes, and you were retired for life on a pretty good pension, meaning didn't have to pay taxes, I guess. So that's Philippi. There are some Jews there, but according to the Acts of the Apostles, there weren't enough Jews there to get a synagogue. There may have been by now, but there weren't when Paul first went there in, what is it, 10, 11, 12 years earlier. In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, you can read the story of Paul's first visit, which was in 50 AD. Luke tells about Lydia, about Paul's healing of a slave girl there with a spirit of divination. It talks about a riot. It talks about Paul being flogged and imprisoned there. And then there's an earthquake and the prison doors open, and the jailer, if you know Acts of the Apostles well enough, is about to commit suicide because he's responsible for the... And Paul says, all right, mate, we're still here. We haven't run away. It's okay. And he's got such a shock that these people wouldn't run away that he fell on his knees, got baptized and sent a daughter to the convent. I mean, what more can you do? So Paul himself writes of the shameful treatment which he received while in Philippi, writing to the Thessalonians. That was in 50. In 55 AD, just to give you a quick rundown, Paul had a second visit when he left Ephesus on his way to Corinth. He may have composed 2 Corinthians there, and he may also have spent the winter there, 55, 56. In the spring of 57, when he's just finished the Romans, so we're right where we are now, he was going to go by boat, as I hope you recall, and instead of being able to go by boat, there was a plot to kill him by the Jews there, so he went overland, presumably, and had to go all the way around through Macedonia, so called in Philippi, and that's where he picked up Luke. Luke starts to talk about journeying to Jerusalem. So this letter witnesses to a very special relationship between Paul and the Philippians.